This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're joined by our buddy CJ Nikowski, longtime player in the bigs, first round pick back of the day, analyst, MLB Network Radio, part of the Rangers broadcast team as well. Just an overall good swell, happy guy. What's happening, CJ? How you doing, man?
Gentlemen, I'm doing okay. Encouraged that at least there's some baseball news and some back and forth. Probably still a little bit of ways to go, but it is certainly encouraging. I'm like you, BT, man. The more games, the better.
Yeah.
Just because we are really dying.
We can use
to
it.
Watch some baseball games.
CJ, how do you... First thing I said to BT when we talked about this at the top of this hour is, how did the players come up with 114 if the owners could only get 82? Like, what's the difference here?
So my guess on the 114 is that they can see that as a balanced schedule, the way that it's going to go, and try to come up with a number to squeeze the most amount in as possible. I think 82 does that same thing. So even though these numbers look a little bit awkward, right, 81's a half a season, yeah. But 81 doesn't work to maybe get the schedule in exactly the way that you would want it to. So my guess is that's probably where that 114 came from, or they just looked at the amount of off days if they started on June 30th and said, okay, well, that'll give us seven off days. Plus, they'll probably be doubleheaders, so they would get more. Mm-hmm. That could be the way that they looked at it as well. But they want to max out for obvious reasons, right?
Yeah,
they agreed
sure.
to the prorated dollars, and they would love to be able to increase those dollars as much as possible. I mean, they've already essentially lost with the owners, you know, when they first agreed to that deal in March and then they realized it was going to be 82 games, they lost collectively $2 billion in salary at that moment.
Wow.
You know, for a league that pays somewhere, but you see some different numbers, somewhere around $3.9 to $4.1 billion in salary that was due this year. They cut it in half right away.
Let me ask you this. So, especially as a former pitcher, you perfect person to answer this. Let's say this actually happens. June 30th is the start date. You know, you're going to take a few days to hammer this out, obviously. Would your arm be ready? Like, would you feel comfortable somehow, whether it's a bullpen or getting a baseball and somebody starting rotation in the first series of the season during the amount of time that they are putting forth right now to prepare for the season, the startup?
If they could get 3 weeks of spring training in, I would say yes. And based on the numerous guys that we've been able to talk to over the last few weeks, a lot of them really have started to ramp it up at home. I think they're getting optimistic that they're going to get closer. You know, some guys backed off a little bit. They used a lot of different terminology. You know, some guys like, hey, I'm down to fifth gear right now. I was pretty much, ready to go, and I'm backing it off, or I'm level 2 out of 10, whatever it may be. They all kind of used their little system to try to figure out exactly what they wanted to do, not knowing when we could potentially start. But yep. Based on what a lot of those guys are saying, and I would probably feel the same way, because your body's telling you should be in the middle of a season right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've done your work, you've stayed in shape, you've played catch. Now, not everybody's done the same work. That's the part of it that is not going to be uniform. You'll have some guys that'll be ready. They'll get 3 or 4 spring training outings, and they'll be ready to give you 5 or 6 innings right out of the chute. There may be a couple of guys that are lagging behind because they didn't have a catcher maybe to throw to. And mm-hmm. that's why it becomes important that these ballparks and these spring training facilities open and have kind of these soft openings where guys can come in and at least work out in a little bit of a better situation, but they're not yet quite letting players travel to their cities to do that. That'd be nice if they let them do that.
So we're talking to CJ Nikowski, 10 years in the show, analyst for the Rangers, great analyst on MLB Network Radio. CJ's with us here. So CJ, can you do us a favor? Like, just in you don't have to get too deep into the woods here, but just based on what the owners presented versus what the players volleyed back. I know we touched on the 114-game season versus 82, mm-hmm. but in totality, the ability to opt out of the season, you'd get paid if there's an existing condition, you can opt out and get service time if there's no condition where you don't want to play, all the other things that they put forth. Do you believe it was a responsible, viable response to what owners put out there? Do you think that the owners would buy this? Is it fair?
I still think it's a starting point for them, right? We still have more negotiating to do. I think of all the things that we saw in there, perhaps the most encouraging was that they at least threw out the idea of deferred money. Because that seemed like that was the easiest way to get this thing solved, right? The idea of giving back any more money was something the players did not want to do, knowing they were already at losing 50% of their salaries essentially anyway with a half a season. Now, that number is much higher. 100 games is about 62% of the season. I think 114 brings us closer to 70% of the season. So the numbers, excuse me, continue to climb. But the idea that deferments were at least out there and even spread out over a couple of years, I think that number goes up. I know it's at $100 million right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see that reach maybe $300, $400 million and spread out over time, because there has to be contingencies. That's the problem, is we don't know what it's going to look like. When the governor of Texas announced that they could open up stadiums right now with 25% capacity last week, that threw just a wrench in everything. Because now you're like, well, wait a minute, that's a real possibility.
Yeah.
And how many other teams are going to do that? If he's saying 25% now, what does August look like? Is August 50%, 75%? And that means a lot of that revenue is coming back. And so I think that one hurt the owners a little bit, and you just don't know. And so contingency plans within the negotiation, I think, are going to be really important based on percentage of fans that can come in. And, of course, playing the postseason is just really, really important to the revenues at this point.
Yeah, so two questions here. One, will that be consistent across all ballparks? Because I know – you know, from an NFL standpoint, they harp on equality, whether it's all facilities have to open at the same time or no facilities do, and likely all stadiums either have to be completely empty or at a certain capacity. Is that going to be uniform throughout?
I don't think so, because I don't think you're going to get every state to agree, right? You have five baseball teams in California. You have a couple in New York, and then, of course, the whole area in the Northeast, and it just might not be the same.
But
the
will MLB step in? Will MLB
step in? I don't think they should. I think because are you going to tell the Rangers, listen, sorry, you can't make any money because the Phillies can't either? You know, and it's just like, well, let them give them a chance to at least open up a little bit. I don't think so. I mean, it certainly could be a possibility. Yeah. But here's the other thing out there, too, and the idea that
I don't
think
like
this
that,
comes up.
By the way.
I know, but just the like idea, that. It helps them satisfy some of the players, I think. Mm. But I get what you're saying from fans. But think about this for a second.
Yep.
And I asked the TV executive about this, not one with the Rangers, but somebody else. I said, all right, you have your opportunity here to put on, say, Yankee games. Would you rather put on Yankee games in an empty Yankee stadium or 50% capacity at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa? And as from a TV side, he said Steinbrenner Field in Tampa.
Oh, really?
I know because listen, it's just, even though it's not the same, there's some fans there at least. Like, you don't have to pump in all fake noise. Now, I think Yankee fans would love, and this goes for any city, would rather their team be there, right? Something would feel good about them being right down the street playing games in your city, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But from a revenue standpoint, even for the Yankees, and I know they're probably an exception because they travel well, the Cubs are the same way, Giants, other teams that have really good road attendance. But even the idea of them playing in Tampa's ballpark, say when they're on the road, at least gives you an opportunity for more revenue until, say, New York opens up and allows those fans to come there. I think that's something that could pop up here.
What would happen? See, I do want to dive into this aspect a little more deeply here. So the ability to opt out of the participating participating in the season, if you're deemed to be high risk, you obviously can opt out. You receive the salary. Nobody with an ounce of sensibility would challenge that. Others could opt out as well. They would get the service time. They wouldn't receive their salary. What happens, though, CJ, if, and I don't even envision this, but there's got to be the possibility of like a plan B. What if some of the most prominent stars opt out and the competitive balance is completely out of whack? Like, say, if Gerrit Cole, Aaron Judge, and Gleyber Torres all opted out for fear of contracting COVID. And I'm not, I mean, it's not going to be equitable. Would there be a solution to teams being dented more so than others, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can really do, right? There's no other talent to be able to acquire. That would be an amazing conversation that we'd be having and a phenomenon in our game. I don't see it happening that way. I mean, even the guys that are immune compromised, all the ones that were interviewed, they all want to play.
Yeah.
Right? The guys that are type 1 diabetics. I mean, David Dahl's got no spleen. Right. And he's like, I want to play. I want to get out there. I want to play as soon as we possibly can. Now, there may be a couple of other guys in there, but I think for most that we've heard from, they want in. Now, that whole Blake Snell thing would not go over particularly well. Right. Especially, being younger, and there seems like there's nothing there to give up his salary, because Tampa's a team. We've seen them do it year in and year out. They find a way to compete without the big big payroll. They can't do it without him. That'd be a real challenge, and that would really affect their season. So it's possible. I feel like we're not going to see it. Now, listen, if there's something going on at home with your wife and it makes you both really nervous, again, nobody's going to say a word. And if you want to stay home, you'll stay home. But I don't know if we're really going to see anybody. I think the union brought it up because obviously a player or two must have brought that up. I just don't think it's going to be a big number. And I couldn't imagine, like, even the scenario that you laid out, that it would be that significant. That would be a problem, and fans and people would probably be upset, and some wouldn't want to play the season because of it.
Would they cancel the season?
No.
If really?
I don't think yeah. so. I mean, listen, those are big numbers. If guys get together collectively, first of all, if they can't even get the deal done, that's going to get in the way. It could be a problem. But if they get the deal done and, Mike Trout and Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge, and you start spreading it around to a bunch of different markets, and like, listen, we're just not comfortable doing this right now. We'd rather not play. It's possible, man. But they also understand how important it is for all the other guys, right? The probably 65%, 70% of the guys that are on the 40-man rosters right now, they don't have years to give away. They don't have even months to give away, right? For the guy that's got to that $1 million salary for the first time this year, he already knows that's getting cut in half, and probably to about $500,000 and maybe less, and he knows he's got to perform so he doesn't get non-tendered at the end of the season, have another chance to try to make that money. So they know that, and I think they'll come. I think they'll come to bat for those guys.
CJ, quickly, what's going to happen with the minor leagues? Well, obviously, we know we're talking major leagues, but what's happening with the minor leagues? Because it seems like it's going away this year. I mean, who knows what impact that ultimately has?
Yeah, it's a real problem. So there will be no minor leagues. I shouldn't say that definitively. It doesn't look like there's going to be a minor league season this year. We know the draft has already been cut down to just 5 rounds, and then you can sign players after that at a maximum of 20,000. It's not just what it's done to the minor leagues, but what it's done to college baseball, what it's going to do to some incoming freshmen who all of a sudden now have what they're calling super seniors coming back and eating into that playing time.
Yep.
Scholarships become an issue. It's really affected the college game in a really big way. But, talking to John Daniels a few weeks ago, he was hoping that there would be some kind of development of a prospect league. Because, the way this thing's going to probably play out could be 30-man rosters, another 20. On a
Who would pay for that, CJ?
A taxi squad. I think they would. I think the teams would. They need to have their prospect. They're at least their guys that they think have a chance. They want them playing, and they don't want to waste a taxi squad spot on them because they need every player they can get. The Rangers used, I think, 54 players last year. So all 50 of those guys on the taxi squad have to be guys that they think can perform in the big leagues right now. So perhaps they start in August. Perhaps they have an extended Arizona Fall League. Who knows? But there'll be a bunch of different ideas thrown out to get at least the top guys, maybe the top third of your minor league system getting work in and not losing a year of development.
30 seconds. When are we playing? When's the first pitch coming?
Oh, man, I was hoping 4th of July. I like when that number was out there. I think it'd be fun. And just the way everything's going right now, I know that's still a ways away, but that would be a nice kind of patriotic moment potentially for everybody. But I think they're going to get it done. I think they're going to get it done hopefully within the next week to 10 days.
Okay.
And then maybe we start playing games in early July.
October
baseball is the interesting part. Regular season or not, players want it, and the league does not. They're worried about a second wave.
CJ Nikowski, former pitcher, first-round pick. And one of the great analysts as well in the game. CJ, great catching up, buddy. Thank you very much.
Yep, my pleasure. Take care, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.